This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. And it's just lovely to be with you. And it's a real honor to be invited to come and speak. And for those of you, and I guess the most of you, don't know me at all, I'm married to Nikki, my wife Nikki, and we have four kids and three grandchildren more recently, which are a delight. And we planted the York Vineyard Church about 10 years ago. Before that, we were in Hull Vineyard, and we were planted out. We returned to our hometown where we were educated and where we got married, as we felt God calling us back in 2008. Over 10 years ago, I think it was. So, but it's just a joy. And I was saying to Hannah earlier that it's great. We don't actually get, even though we rub shoulders at certain events, vineyard events and things, we never actually get to go and be a part of other services, vineyard services. I think I've only been to about four or five vineyard services, Sunday services. So it's just great to have this opportunity to come and be with you. This morning I'm going to talk about Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3. And as I was praying, I felt this was a message that the Lord laid on my heart. And this is a wonderful prayer that Paul gives on the back of, he's just been talking in this letter to the church in Ephesus. He's been telling them about the amazing resources that we have in Christ, that we've got all that we need to fulfill our spiritual life, to follow in Jesus. He prays in that first chapter that we might really understand, that we might tap into all that is available to us. He tells us that, you know, we are purchased by God through the blood of Jesus, that we belong to him, that we're fully accepted, that our sins are forgiven through his blood shed, and that we have this amazing new life within us, this new creation, and that we all of this is sealed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing all that is to come. You know, we've got so much. We've always, always, always got so much to look forward to, so much hope. And Paul is telling them about this in this first part of his letter. And he prays in 1:17, I think it's 1:17, that our hearts would, the eyes of our hearts will be opened, that we'll have wisdom and revelation into these things so that we just won't know them, that we'll tap into them. And so he tells us that, you know, we've got limitless resources. We are rich in resource in Christ. And he also, the sad thing is, what I think is that the modern church as a whole, looking at, so often we fail to tap into all that Christ has made possible for us. So often we just go in on autopilot, or we get so caught up with the busyness of life that we don't plug into all that he has made possible for us and draw from that which he's made possible. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, you may recall those well-known verses where he says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything else is but dung, he says. And then in the next chapter, he says that I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And that's why he says in the previous chapter, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to know this power that raised him from the dead. And guys, that's our purpose in life. This is our purpose, to know Jesus Christ, to focus upon him, to know him. Paul says, I want to enter into his sufferings, and in doing so, know that power that raised him from the dead. To be enlightened about all that Christ is and all the resource that is available to us. Something that the unregenerate world does not have, does not have that ability to tap into these wonderful resources that he's made available to us. So let's read these wonderful verses in Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14, he says, for this reason, you know, for the reason I've just explained, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever. Amen. And so what we see here is five progressive steps, five principles that lead towards the goal of this prayer in verse 20, when Paul says to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but I would just be grateful to for those things that I ask for to come into being. Never mind the things that I can't even begin to imagine. But that's what Paul's saying here, that we might be able to do things beyond, exceedingly beyond our expectations. And he says there are five principles, progressive principles, a process that I want us to just look at this morning. Firstly, in verse 16, he prays that we might be strengthened in our inner being, that we be strengthened in our inner being. I've called this prayer the prayer of ignition, because Paul is telling us the engine, what we've got the engine, and he's prayed that we might know what's in the engine and the power of the engine. But this is about turning it on. The next three chapters, 4 to 6, give us the roadmap, where we're going, what it looks like to be a Christian. First three are about what a Christian is. Second three is what it looks like. And so he prays that we might be strengthened in our inner being. And it's so important, because life, it's not easy, is it? I don't know about you, but life isn't easy. There's a lot comes against us. It's not easy being a Christian in this culture which we live in, this secular culture. It feels like we're going against the flow. And we need to be strong within in order to live out all that Christ has called us to be and to do. As troubles and opposition comes towards us, as we encounter pain and hardship, it's very easy for our inner being to be torn up, to struggle. We can very quickly lose that sense of joy and peace and love and well-being when we face difficulties and opposition. And that hinders our service and it hinders our witness, because doubt starts to creep in and we can splutter along through the oppositions of life. We can soon find ourselves in fear and anxiety. And Paul prays that we might be strong within, that inner part, that inner being. That's our soul, that which is eternal, the new life. And Paul says, I want this to be strong, to be strong. 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, being renewed day by day. What I'm finding is that my outside is deteriorating rapidly. My eyesight's going, my hair's gone, my hearing's going. I'm getting aches and pains where I never used to get aches and pains. The outside is getting some battering, and it's going to go downhill from here, outwardly. But inwardly, in Christ, I'm being renewed daily. The culture we live in focuses so much on the outside, does it not? What we look like, and so important. And yet, as Christians, we can get caught up with that at the neglect of what is going on inside. Feeding the inner being, being strengthened within. Again, Paul says in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:16, he says this, "At my first defense, no one came to my support." He's getting a lot of stick, opposition, hardship. "But everyone deserted me. Those around him fled. And may it not be held against them," he says. "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me" what? "Strength." The Lord gave me strength. I used to play a lot of rugby years ago, at school and university. And I heard a story. I know many years ago, a vicar gave a story which I heard, and the same experience happened to me playing a particular match which stands out in my mind as though it was yesterday. We were playing a really good team when I was at uni. I think it was Durham University, actually. And I remember the game so well because there were two individuals in that team that were probably the biggest guys I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they were huge. They seemed that, you know, young student. I came to a certain point in the game. Bill McLaren, do you remember the commentator? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Bill McLaren, great Scottish commentator. He had wonderful sayings. He would describe these guys as perambulating lighthouses. And it came to a point in the game when I got the ball and I saw a gap and I thought, whoa, try on here. And I sped for the gap. And out of the corner of my eye, I could not see one, but two of these perambulating lighthouses making their way towards me. And suddenly I heard the shout from one of my teammates, "With you." And I just passed the ball out, beautiful pass. And he was pulverized instead of me. It's what's known in the game as a hospital pass. But the point, joking apart, the point is this, is that how often in life, when I've been facing opposition, facing difficulty, Christ has come and strengthened me. I'm with you. And it's not that he's taken the difficulty away, but he's given me the strength to go through. And that's happened time and time again. This is what Paul is talking about. That our faith, that our inner beings be strong when difficulties come and opposition. Do you remember when Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane, and he's battling away in prayer, and we can only imagine what he was about to take on. And he wrestles in prayer. And then we read, an angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. And that's what I believe exactly what happens with us when we come before him and spend time with him in prayer. He strengthens us. He gives us strength within. Gives us spiritual energy to overcome. And Paul says, I want you to know this strength as you do life, as you go about being my witnesses, as you go about being my ambassadors, as you go about serving within society. I want you to be strong. Because he said, you will face difficulty in this life. It will come. Strong, so that we spontaneously will stay firm, spontaneously follow him, spontaneously walk towards righteousness. Firm enough to withstand the onslaught from the devil and the world. Not easily swayed by the lust of the eye and the flesh, and the pride of life, strong in our inner being. And that's why Paul, in other places, in Galatians 5, 16, talks about walking in the Spirit, and Ephesians 5, 18, be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3, 16, fill your minds with the Word of God. It's great to hear that you're doing this Bible, walking through the Bible in a year. Nourishing our souls on his Word. Because as we yield over to him and the power of his Spirit in your life, you find spiritual strength Acts 1:8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The resident power is there. But it's a matter of us feeding inwardly. And I don't know about you, but the world competes for attention. And it's so easily drawn, we're so easily drawn into the busyness, the hecticness of life. There's so much to draw us and lure us away. And the Lord is saying, come and hang out with me. Just be with me. Do time with me. And I will strengthen your soul. Allowing the Holy Spirit to infuse our souls with his power. So that's the first point. Secondly, this leads to the second step. Paul says, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ would be at home in our hearts. This isn't talking just about salvation here. It's moving on from salvation. It's Jesus being at home. You know, there's a difference between living in a house and living at home. Home's a place where you can just kick your feet, kick your shoes off and relax and chill. Home is a place where we can feel safe. And it's this kind of image that Paul is conveying here, that Jesus will be so at home in our hearts. I remember a book that Colin Urquhart wrote, Holy Fire. And he used an analogy in there of the heart being like that of a house with many rooms in it. And Jesus, you know, moving into each room of the house, he wants to get in every room of our life. He moves into the sitting room, you know, and waits for us to come and hang out with him in there in the lounge. Yet I guess so often the TV's on in the lounge or whatever, social media. He wants to get in every area so that he can be at home, pushing out the darkness, taking his light into those rooms. He wants to get into, you know, your cloakroom, your closet. I don't know about you, but everything gets thrown into our cloakroom when guests are coming around. It just gets all chucked in, door shut. He wants to get into the deepest parts of the rooms of our soul and bring in his light and bring in his love. Paul says that as you're strengthened in your inner being, Jesus will dwell within your hearts. And then thirdly, he talks about being rooted and established in love, verse 17 and 18. As we're strengthened, as Jesus dwells in our hearts, we are then rooted and established in love. Because when Christ settles down in our hearts, he transforms them into love. Being rooted and grounded, not something that's peripheral or on the circumference of our lives, but something that is so rooted within us that no matter what comes at us, in life, and no matter what we're going through, we don't stall, we don't splutter, but that love will just flow, overflow and overflow. One of the things he said to us was to love those people that hate you, those people that are not kind, those people that get in your face, those people that you want to do things to. He says, no, I want you to love them as I have loved them. Incomprehensible, limitless love. And when Christ dominates our lives to this degree, the characteristic in our life will be love, his love. We will be so rooted and grounded in it. And you will love in a way that he loves as he dwells within. And again, I think practicing his presence is a crucial thing for us to do. Get alone with him. Spend time with him. Invest time with him. Enjoy him. He's waiting for you to come and be with him. To enjoy your attention. To enjoy you. inviting his spirit to come and sitting in his presence, basking in his presence. Being dominated by this amazing, incredible love that transforms and changes lives. As we do this, as we experience this and know his love, this limitless love that knows no end, filling every area, the height, the breadth, the depth, the width, we will experience the exhilarating joy of knowing him in this way. And then fourthly, that leads us to the fourth step, the fullness of God, the fullness of God. Verse 19. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What does he mean? What is Paul talking about there? Well, it simply means this, that Jesus was described as the fullness of God, was he not? The deity, the fullness of the deity existed within him, right? He was full of grace and truth. And it's simply the idea that we become like him. Remember, our purpose is to be like Jesus. That is the call. And the fullness of God is talking about that expression of being like him. It's not that we become him. We don't become God, but we become like him. As we follow this process, that is the result. Flooding our life with this overwhelming love, then you're going to find yourself being like God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. Having this knowledge and wisdom in your lives, the essence of God within you. If I take this bottle to the ocean and fill it up, the ocean is so much more than what's in the bottle. So much more. It's vast. But all that the ocean is within the bottle. And so it is with us. By virtue of his very nature being within us. And as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says that we are going from glory to glory to glory. Filled with the fullness of God. Now we're getting to this point. We're getting to the goal. To why we can be so powerful. If in being filled to the fullness of God, then God is going to move and will move powerfully through me and through you. This takes us to verse 20. That comes in a form of doxology. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. See, I think it's very easy to live in the shallows of our Christian faith. And the call of Christ is to lay down our lives and pursue him with all we've got, that we might be filled to the degree that Paul's talking about. So that we might say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Powerful lives are built on these principles. And Paul is a wonderful living example of Ephesians 3:20. No matter what was thrown at him, Christ was manifesting. At times he said, I'm perplexed. At times You know, here's a guy that was shipwrecked 3 times. He was beaten with rods 5 times. He had the 39 lashes 5 times. This was a man who certainly entered into the sufferings for Christ. But a man who was just overflowing, overflowing with the love of Christ. I don't know about you, but Lord, that is my goal. That is my desire, to walk in such a way that the power of God will be working within, doing things that go way beyond what I could even begin to imagine. Jesus said to his followers, you will do even greater things than I have done. Tremendous power is available for us. That is why it says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that we don't have a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power. Dunamis power. Dunamis, the word we get for, the word dynamite comes from. Power. Christians walking in power. Let me finish with a reading from Isaiah, who puts it wonderfully. Isaiah chapter 40. And let me read to you from verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these things. He who brings us out of the starry host one by one and calls forth each by name. Because of his great power, a mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So as we, and I encourage you to pray Paul's prayer. Pray for inner strength. Pray that Christ may be at home in your hearts. And pray that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God, that the fullness of God would be within you, and that his power will be doing that which is way beyond all that we could dream for. Amen. God bless you. Okay, let's pray.